The reading comes from the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. And you'll find it on page 955 of your prayer Bibles. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel. Together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, what is ever commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at last, you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, as we explore this topic of simplicity and contentment, will you help us to depend on you and to find the joy of relying on you for everything? In Jesus' name. Amen.
And I invite Trevor to come and join us, and he's very bravely allowing us to interview him this morning about his recent trip. So make yourself comfortable.
Thank you.
Is that so, working? Trevor, yes, I think you're on. So you have recently been away. For how many weeks was it?
It was 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
So I walked for 34 days.
Straight?
34 days in a row, 571 miles.
Wow.
1 million, just under 1,300,000 steps.
Wow. Okay. So just for those who might not know, where did you start?
So I started in the small town of Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, which is just in the French Pyrenees, close to the Spanish border, and walked to across the middle of Spain to Santiago de Compostela. And in fact, because I'd made up a bit of time, I couldn't stop walking, so I carried on to Cape Finisterre, which was just another 95 kilometres.
So I imagine... Obviously, you weren't doing it the easy way, weren't you? Because I know you can do this thing and you can have your stuff coached on to the next destination and then you meet it, and you didn't do it that way, did you?
No. It was done. I carried everything that I needed, basically. So I had a rucksack. I wanted to limit it in weight. I wanted it to be eight kilos. It was 9.
Right.
And actually, it was too much. Mm. And so I guess... In terms of simplicity and in terms of contentment, the moral of the story is go light.
yeah. So you had to really strip back to the essentials.
Yes, but I could have stripped back more. Really? In reflection, okay. I could have saved another kilo and a half easily.
Wow. So what were the most important things, do you think, in your rucksack?
Anti-chafing compound, probably.
I would ask him more.
But no, there was... But seriously, I mean, it was just... All I needed was what I was wearing and a change, really. That's all I needed, because I did my washing every night. And stuff to prevent blisters, really, which was the other thing. Mm. And I managed to avoid that.
So what did you do about food? How did you manage that?
Well, food, there was provision along the way. There were places to stop for food. It's a well-trodden trail.
Yeah.
And so most places offered a pilgrim's meal at 10 euros, which was really good.
And did you plan that ahead? Did you sort of know where you were going to stop?
I had a guide, so I knew what my route was for each of the days, but actually I genuinely only ever planned on the next day. Mm-hmm. So travel light is a key thing, and traveling light, not just in terms of what I carried, but in terms of what was in my mind.
Yeah.
And walking, ever only thinking about the next day, really, or planning on walking this day. And although I knew what my destination was, I never took for granted that I would get there.
Yeah.
I knew where I was going, but it was literally one day at a time, one step at a time.
I've only known you for this last year, but I would say that you know you're quite a sort of organised person. you know, you sort of plan and you know, prepare.
Yeah.
So was that quite a challenge for you then?
Yeah, it was. But it was a lovely thing to do, which was to just say, okay, I'll walk today, and tomorrow I'll think about the next day. So I only ever thought about the day that I was walking, and then that night I'd think a bit about the next day, and then get up and start again. So it was a very... there was a routine, there was a repetition, which was very helpful.
Okay. So what was the purpose of doing it? You know, what did you start out thinking you were going to get out of it?
What I wanted to get out of it was to... And it's a phrase that I saw in a book, actually, but which struck with me, which was to connect with the sacredness in myself and in others and in nature, and to just make space for God to fill.
Okay, so that was the purpose when you set out.
Yes.
Okay, and how did that work out for you?
It exceeded everything I could have hoped for, really, because I... As I said, each day it was a repetition. It was a very mm-hmm. simple thing.
Okay.
All I had to do was walk, really. And so I'd get up early. Normally I'd start walking by 7, and maybe walk for 7, maybe 8 hours a day, depending upon the length. Between 22 and 36 kilometres was the longest I think I did in one day. Mm-hmm. I'd always try to... So I'd have a bit of breakfast, and then I'd always try to start walking alone. So I could have some time for prayer. I had my phone with me, and I listened to various tracks to help me to centre myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could pray as I walked and just empty my mind, really.
So traveling light, obviously.
Yes.
Important. Having this sort of routine.
Yes.
Seems to be important.
Yes.
So tell me something about the encounters with others then.
The encounters with others were perhaps the most powerful, really. Although it was wonderful to have the privilege to be able to be silent and to pray, at some stage you would encounter somebody, or somebody would come alongside you, and it was a very easy sort of equilibrium where you sensed whether people wanted to be spoken with or not. But every day I had amazing encounters with people. And after a while, you began to meet some of the same people again, or even walk with the same people over a period of days. But whenever I met somebody, it always seemed to be right.
Mm.
And I had the most amazing discussions with people, people who I wouldn't have dreamt of speaking with or have met. And it always made me feel... I always felt enriched after that.
Yeah.
Because... The wonderful thing about walking this Camino is that the majority of people are doing it for, they would say, spiritual reasons. Not all Christian, but some talk about spirituality in a way they can't define. Mm. Some do it for a long walk, but not many. And so the result is that it's a very open space and people are very vulnerable and are prepared to show their vulnerability. Mm. And I had discussions with people about why they were walking, some very tragic reasons, some very uplifting reasons. I had a discussion with somebody who was from Northern Ireland, who in his younger days was in the IRA. Mm. I'd been in the Navy during that time, and I guess he was my enemy. He was a man who joined, who was fighting the Queen and the country that I represented. And he was explaining why he did that. And he talked to me and said, well, you joined the Navy to go and fight the Queen's enemies. I did the same for my country. Mm. And we spoke for 2 hours, and at the end we embraced.
Mm. Wow.
And yeah. Every day I laughed, and every day I cried.
Yeah.
And not always for sad reasons.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. Yeah. And it was, and that isn't me either. I'm not the person that talks to people in the queue. Yeah. I'm the person that tends to avoid that discussion.
Yeah.
And I was blessed by the discussions I had.
So do you think there's something about, the travelling light and the, starting on your own in quiet, and, having that space, which then facilitated those encounters?
Yes. Okay. There is. I think there's I'm aware that what I did is, I was very privileged to have the time and the resources to do it. And it wasn't real life in the sense, it was very much life on the mountain. It was kind of in a little bubble that wasn't quite reality. But it's something I want to hope to carry on in terms of that, a routine and repetition of making space for God and knowing that he'll fill that.
Mm. And during that time, on the journey, where did you see God? Where did you recognise God in that?
I recognised it in the quiet that I was having. I recognised it absolutely in some of the people that I met who blessed me in ways that they probably didn't even realise. And I pray that I was able to do the same for others. I recognised it in nature, mm-hmm. where I heard birds sing in ways that I hadn't heard before. I took delight in flowers and the fields. And I'd stop sometimes and just look at a field of corn for 5 minutes or watch a beetle cross the path. It was just that I certainly, the sacredness of nature was something I reconnected with. Mm. And I became very conscious of the gifts that I was given in terms of food in particular. Mm. I was always hungry and was eating like a Labrador puppy, but still had to take my belt in 2 notches. And I just savoured the food that I ate in a way that I hadn't done for years. I mean, I love food, but the simplest pieces of food I just ate slowly and savoured, often with people,
yeah.
and rediscovered the being grateful for that.
Yeah.
I was with in a town in the evening having supper in one of the having a pilgrim's meal. And I'd started, and a lady came in, a Korean lady who's, she was a Catholic, and her given saint's name was Rufina. And I walked with her quite a bit, and she came in a bit late, but as she sat down and her food was put in front of her, she crossed herself and prayed at the table. And it made me feel quite ashamed, really, in terms of how much I take eating food for granted. And she had a little blessing to herself before she ate.
Yeah. Wow. So there's something about slowing down, isn't
yeah.
there? So we've got travelling light, not planning too far ahead necessarily.
No. One step at a time. I don't think I would have started it. I don't think I would have started the journey if I'd seen the whole thing ahead of me.
Okay.
It's one step, one day.
And slowing down.
And then eventually I got there, and actually I was quite surprised, really, when I got there.
Yeah. So what lessons will you take away from this? Because as you say, this was an amazing experience, but a sort of a bit of a bubble, a very special place, special time. Coming back into the real world, what are you going to bring with you?
Well, it's as you said, it's about being light. It's about stuff. We have too much stuff. I have too much stuff. Getting rid of stuff, not just physical clutter, but mental clutter, to make space to be aware of the beauty of God. And actually, the piece from Philippians, rejoice always, rejoice. Mm-hmm. And it was, I know it was easy for me to be in that state of mind, but it's so easy to be, to take things for granted. Mm-hmm. To have that routine, and to seek out people who can... We never know the story of the person next to us. Mm. And sometimes that may be right, but there was so much that I gained from talking to people and understanding from their holiness and from their simplicity.
Mm. You mentioned before about the graffiti along the Camino. Because I hadn't imagined that, but there's quite a lot of graffiti, isn't
there? A lot of graffiti.
Yeah.
Some of it is quite weird. Yeah. but some of it's very profound, actually. And graffiti on all of the underpasses, and particularly the Camino is very well marked, actually. And that's, I guess, the other thing is that taking it one day at a time is easier when the path is well marked. Mm. And I know that our sort of spiritual life isn't well marked often, but it's looking out for those markers. And I suppose, in terms of graffiti, it was a little notice board actually, but it suddenly made me realise that I understood what I was doing the Camino for, but then it was in Spanish, and it was Yo soy el camino, el verdad y el vida, which is Spanish for I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mm. And I suddenly realised, of course, you know, Jesus said, I am the Camino, I'm the way. And so this journey was walking this journey with Jesus, showing the way. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that's what I try to, you know, to do now in real life, is to understand that that we have this way set out before us, and we need to understand what the markers are. Mm-hmm. But in terms of graffiti, there were two bits of graffiti that really spoke to me. And towards the end, actually, the first was written on one of these way markers. They're like little obelisks that... with an arrow on it, a nice yellow arrow that shows you which way to go. And somebody had painted on there, make space for the state of grace. Mm. And I just get emotional about thinking about it now, because I thought, that's it. That's
encapsulates.
That's what I'm trying to do here, is to make... And if we make that space for the state of grace, it will be filled.
Wow.
You know, my grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
And I understand... Probably... I understood what that verse was saying, but for the first time in my life, I really experienced what that meant.
Wow, yeah.
My grace is sufficient. And the other graffiti, which, again, was towards the end, somebody had just painted on something, love wins.
Yeah.
And I thought, yes.
Yeah.
Love wins. And I suppose at the end of it, the thing that I took really away was this sense of making space for the state of grace. And it's about the simplicity of it. It's actually clearing away the rubbish. It's about making time. It's about looking out for markers and just being rejoicing and being grateful for the things that we have.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing with us, Trevor. That was amazing. Thank you.